لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من أمسى كالا بعمل يديه أمسى مغفورا له، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected ulama-i kiram, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, the verse of the Quran which I recited in the khutbah in the beginning is a verse that many of us at some point or the other would have heard. A very, very comprehensive verse of the Quran in which the usul and principles of the life of a Muslim are outlined. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very succinctly in this verse says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, for you without a doubt in the Rasul of Allah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uswatun hasana, is a most perfect, a most beautiful example. Our role model, our guide, our imam, the one who we have to follow in every aspect of our lives is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you have to analyze this verse in the light of, take today for example, many of us this morning would have went to work. We would have got engaged in earning our livelihood to put halal food in front of our families. Obviously, there is this consciousness and awareness that it is the day of Jumu'ah. The reaction to that amongst many of us would have varied. Some would have come very early to the masjid, keeping with this, in keeping alive this great sunnah of tabkir on the day of Jumu'ah. Some would have come just on azan time. And unfortunately there are those that just as the khutbah is about to start, will start walking into the masjid. The question we have to ask ourselves, my respected brothers, this entire morning we were involved in earning our livelihood. Is Shariat silent on this? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only going to reward us for the Jumu'ah Salah that we performed, for the Surah Kahf that we read, for the Durood and Salawat that we sent upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the Tilawat of the Quran that we made today, or for the Zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we made? Without a doubt, Salah, fasting, tilawat, tabligh, all these various amal of deen are a means and a source of maghfirat, forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a means of rafi darajat. It is a means of us earning the great, great ranks in akhirat. But in the light of this verse of the Quran, even your going to your business, even your attempting to earn a halal livelihood, that also is ibadat. That also is a source of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That also is a source of maghfirat and forgiveness. When? And this is the critical and important thing. Fi Rasulillah. When it is according to the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anything that a Muslim does, his ibadat, if it is according to sunnah and the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then only it is ibadat. And even ibadat, if it moves away from the beautiful example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, somebody decides just now in Jummah Salah, instead of one ruku, I'm going to make two rukus in each salah, in each rakat. This has now deviated from the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that salah that he will perform, instead of it being ibadat and maghfirat, it will become guna and sin, and he will have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why he has deviated from the most beautiful example of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In exactly the same way, understand, you earned your livelihood this morning. If you earned your livelihood according to sunnah, according to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is ibadat. Allah is rewarding you. In fact, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Man amsa كَالَّنْ بِعَمَلِ يَدَيْهِ أَمْسَى مَغْفُورًا لَهُ. Allahu Akbar. Somebody sat from morning till night in the masjid and made ibadat. He was fasting on that day, he read Quran. You meet that person, you ask him, why did you do all this? He says, Allah must make my maghfirat, Allah must forgive me, Allah must give me jannat. What does Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He says, a businessman went to his business, he didn't come to the masjid. Morning till night he was in the marketplace. But the condition, although it's not mentioned, the hadith is clear, it was halal. What he earned was halal, there was not lies, there was not cheating, there was not deceit. There was not putting wool over somebody's eyes. There was not selling something defective. He had not taken loans on riba, on interest, etc. What he did was halal, truthful, in keeping with Shariat. One person spent the whole day in the masjid. Why did you spend the day? Allah must make my maghfirat. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that businessman who went to his business for the entire day, so that by the time it comes Maghrib Salah time, he comes to the masjid, he is tired. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Maghfooran lahu. Allah has forgiven all his sins. Not only the person in the masjid, the one who was earning halal, Sa'd bin Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala anhu. One occasion he's in front of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his hands are marked. When somebody does physical labor, then the skin, he develops calluses on his hands, the skin becomes thick. Sa'd bin Mu'az pulling the rope, tilling the fields. Ansar of Medina were generally farmers by trade. So the marks could be seen on his hands. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam holds the hands of Sa'd bin Mu'az and says to him, how have your hands become like this? He said, Ya Rasulullah, by toiling in the field, in order to put halal food, halal sustenance in front of my family, I was toiling in the field, this is why my hands became marked like this. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidul Awwaleen wal Akhireen, Tajadar Madina. More mushfiq, more kind, more compassionate, more merciful, a master and teacher, guide, role model, impossible to find. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he takes the hands of Sa'd bin Mu'az, kisses those hands, and he says, the hands that have become marked like this because of toiling in order to put halal food in front of one's family, Allah has made the fire of Jahannam haram upon these hands. One great wali of Allah passed away. One of his murid saw him in a dream, and they asked him, Hazrat, how did Allah deal with you? He said, Allah made my maghfirat. And then what did he say? He said, Allah made my maghfirat, but deliver this message for me. This wali of Allah never got married. He never had children. When he's seen in the dream, how did Allah deal with you? Allah made your maghfirat, but deliver this message. What message? That person of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who got married and had children and toiled, stayed away from haram, stayed away from temptation, sufficed with little in this world in order to put halal food in front of his wife and children, the jannat which Allah has kept for him, I have not even come close to that jannat. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Amongst the galaxy of sahaba, on the last occasion of Jummah 2 weeks ago when we spoke, we mentioned the hijrat of Sahaba. Sahaba of Makkah Mukarrama made hijrat to Medina Munawwara. All they had was the clothing on their backs. They had given up their homes, their livelihoods, everything. Today we have, if you pick up the media, international media throughout the world, there is a problem. Entire elections are being won or lost. People are being selected as leaders of countries, or they are losing their position on the basic one burning issue: what to do with refugees, what to do with migrants. More and more there is this thinking, banish them, do not help them, do not assist them. The Muhajireen of Makkah that migrated from Makkah to Medina Munawwara, in reality, in today's terms, were migrants, they were refugees. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? He established Muakhat, the brotherhood of Islam. I mentioned one incident which I didn't complete, which I want to complete now, because it is pertinent to what we are discussing. Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Abdurrahman bin Auf, addresses Sa'd bin Rabi'a. Sa'd bin Rabi'a was a resident of Medina, a wealthy man. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, from today onwards Abdurrahman bin Auf is your brother, Mu'akhad, brotherhood of Islam. In fact, this was the system which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established. Each home of Medina took one refugee in. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established brotherhood. They shared their wealth, they made their ikram. This is how their dunya was looked after. When it came to Abdurrahman bin Auf, he was 10 years younger than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So by the time he made hijrat, his age would have been about 43 plus minus. We talk of wealthy people. Lot of times the person is wealthy, why? Because he inherited the wealth. He had some startup. You know what, I'm digressing. But I remember one person I met in Malawi a few years ago, he told me one ajeeb thing. He says, today you ask every old man with a white beard who's still toiling in his business, "Bhai, why are you finishing yourself? What are you chasing after?" He says, "No, I have to secure the future of my children. I'm doing it for my children. I'm setting up business for my sons." And he says, every young person you meet, every son you meet, you ask him, "How did you make it? You are wealthy today." Every son will say, "I made it on my own." You won't find a single one that said, "My father gave it to me." This is mata'ul ghurur, the deception of dunya. There isn't even that appreciation. But generally, people that are very wealthy, they inherited the wealth. Abdurrahman bin Auf, this was not inherited wealth. When he made hijrah to Medina Munawwara, he was penniless. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Sa'd bin Rabi, "Abdurrahman is your brother from today." What is the reaction of Sa'd bin Rabi? Weigh this brotherhood of Islam in the light of what the world is doing today about refugees. They want to banish them, put them into camps, pretend that they don't exist. Look at the brotherhood of Islam. Sa'd bin Rabi says to Abdurrahman bin Auf, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "You are my brother. Inni aktharu ahli al-madinati malan. There is no one more wealthy than me in Medina. From today, fanzur shatra mali lak, half my wealth belongs to you. Tahti imratan, I have two wives. Fanzur ayyatahuma a'jabu ilayk hatta utalliqaha. You choose which one you prefer, I'll divorce her after it that you get married to her." Sahaba were not like you and I. Allahu Akbar, what is the reaction of the Abdurrahman bin Auf? Barakallahu laka fi ahlika wa malik. Allah give you barakat. Allah give you barakat in your family also and in your wealth. But dulluni ala souq, show me where's the marketplace. Don't give me a single penny. I don't want anything from you. Allah give you barakat. But this was the istighnaiyat of Sahaba. Abdurrahman bin Auf was a businessman. But not just an ordinary businessman. Laqab, title, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Tajirul Rahman. Tajirul Rahman. He was a businessman of Rahman, a businessman of Allah. Why? Because the business was in conformance to Shariat. A businessman, but what is his maqam? One majlis, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Uthman fil Jannah, Ali fil Jannah, Talha fil Jannah, Zubair fil Jannah, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas fil Jannah, Abdurrahman bin Auf fil Jannah, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah fil Jannah, Sa'id bin Zayd, Abu Al-Awar fil Jannah. 10 sahaba, one majlis. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Jannati, 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 radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. It is the ijma and consensus of ulama that these are the top 10 sahaba. Top 10, amongst them Abdurrahman bin Auf, a businessman. When he passes away, different calculations are given. But one calculation, he passed away in the khilafat of Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He was 75 years of age. When he came to Medina, 43. When he passes away, 75. Halal, halal, halal. And yet, Allahu Akbar, what does he leave behind? It is estimated 3 billion. 3 billion, 102 million dinars. Gold coins, not paper money like today, where they've made us into fools. Paper we think is valuable. They've even gone to the extent now is no more paper, it's a plastic card. Flash the plastic card and live on credit. This was not made up well. 3,102,000,000 dinars, gold coins. 10,000 sheep, 1,000 camels, 1,000 horses, different properties interspersed throughout the Arabian Peninsula. This was the wealth which Abdurrahman bin Auf left behind when he passed away. And yet, he was generous to a mind-boggling extent. He would spend, it is mentioned about him on one day, he gives 40,000 dinars in charity. One expedition that went out in the path of Allah, 500 horses with their saddles. What is 500 horses in today's terms? It's like 500 Mercedes-Benz, 500 BMWs, giving one time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He spent to such an extent, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him so much. This was the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for Abdurrahman bin Auf, where he says, Allah gave me so much barakah that at times I would pick up sand and I would expect that to turn into gold also. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala, coming back to the point we were making, not only your salah, not only your tilawat, not only your zikr, not only your tabligh, not only your hajj and umrah, not only your fasting will earn you jannat, wallah, business also, when it is done according to sharia, when it is done according to the beautiful example of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not just jannat, Abdurrahman bin Auf, such wealth, he could probably buy the whole of Africa. That is the amount of wealth he left behind. Yet, top 10 sahaba, not just jannati, VIP jannati. There is one saying of Abdurrahman bin Auf. Someone asked him one day, how is it Allah gave you so much barakat? He said, I had four principles in my earning. And this is what we want to discuss. Time is limited. But nevertheless, whatever Allah gives opportunity, weigh these principles that are derived from sunnah in the manner in which you and I are doing business today. First principle, he said, I never purchased anything on credit. I never bought anything on credit. If I couldn't afford it, I didn't buy it. And I never sold anything on credit. Never bought on credit, never sold on credit. Imagine if we had to come on this, half the tension is gone. Today, what is the tension? Somebody mentioned one joke the other day. They said, Abdullah went to Abdurrahman, borrowed 100,000 from him. Abdullah wrote a check for the end of the month. 100,000. 29th of the month came, Abdullah is pacing up and down. Wife asked him, what happened? Why are you pacing up? He says, I gave Abdurrahman a check. It's due tomorrow. There's nothing in the account. The check is going to bounce. So she goes out of the room, comes back a few minutes later, says to her husband that, you know what? I phoned Abdurrahman's wife and I told her that don't worry, tell your husband, don't worry about depositing the check. It's not going to get met. Now you can go to sleep because he'll be awake. This is what business has become today. Credit on its own, it's allowed. But unnecessary debt, taking on debt for business expansion, taking on debt because of lalach and greed. Look at the warnings that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave. One day he told one person, Sahabi narrates, وَهُوَ يُسِي رَجُلًا Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving one person nasihat advice. What a nasihat? Allahu Akbar. Uswatun hasana. Beautiful example. What does my Nabi say? He says to this person, Aqil min al-dhunub, yahin alayka al-maut. Aqil min al-dhunub, yahin alayka al-maut. He said, lessen your gunas and your sins. Make lessen, your maut will become easy for you. And aqil min ad-dain, incur less debt. Stay away from debt. Ta'ish hurran, you will live a free man. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the early stages in Madinah Munawwara, when a sahabi, tahajjud guzar, every night in tahajjud, every day fasting, when his janazah would be brought, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask the question, does he owe anybody money? If the response was given, yes, he owes somebody, Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would not lead that janazah salah. He would tell them, you all perform the janazah salah, and he would go away. Sahabi, once a person is brought, somebody says that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is about to lead his janazah, mafhum of the riwayat. Somebody says, Ya Rasulullah, this man was a bad person, a gunegar, sinner. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asks the sahaba that are present, has any one of you seen him doing anything good? So one person said, Ya Rasulullah, he and I together, we stayed awake an entire night guarding in the path of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, wah. People are saying that he is a Jahannami. I can see him in Jannah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam leads his janazah salah. But when it comes to someone who had a debt, once Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, janazah is brought, Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to sahaba, is any family member of this person here? Somebody steps forward. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Inna sahibakum khubisa ala babil jannah. Your companion has been blocked, his entry to Jannah is blocked because of his debt. فَإِنْ شِيْتُمْ فَفْدُوهُ. If you want, take over his debt and ransom him. وَإِنْ شِيْتُمْ أَسْلِمُهُ إِلَىٰ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ. And if you want, hand him over to the azab of Allah. So that person says, Ya Rasulullah, عَلَيَّ دَيْنُهُ. I take responsibility for his debt. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam led the janazah salah. It is mentioned in the riwayat, what was his debt? 2 dinars. 2 dinars. And this was the reaction of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This hukum of not performing the janazah salah was abrogated towards the latter part. But this was to teach the ummah. Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu anhu says, one day Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came out of the Qabristan, Jannatul Baqi, sat down, was leaning against the wall, all of a sudden caught his head. Subhanallah, ma unzila min at-tashdeed. What a weighty hukum has come. فَعَرَفْنَا وَسَكَتْنَا. Sahaba say, we saw his reaction, we were afraid. We didn't even ask him, Ya Rasulullah, what has happened? We waited a whole day. The next day, Muhammad bin Abdullah bin Jahash musters the courage. Ya Rasulullah, مَتْ تَشْدِيد الَّذِي أُنزِل. What was it that caused you to grab your head like that? What was so heavy? He said, Jibreel came and informed me that if someone of my ummah becomes a shaheed in the path of Allah, is given life, becomes a shaheed again, is given life and becomes a shaheed again, but he has debt, he will never enter Jannah. This is not a joke. It's not something light, unnecessary debt. Today the whole marketplace is on credit. And what is the tragedy behind this? Is that people are living beyond their means. You never know what your business is worth because everything is on credit. It's like a tire without air. It's a deception. Everything with a plastic card, everything hilted to the banks. Driving a fancy car, living in a big house, but kokla, empty, nothing there. Allah's Rasul Sallam himself at the time of his demise was indebted, but that was a different debt. It was not unnecessary debt. Not for business expansion. Not to fulfill lalach of dunya. Be content. Have qanaat. Coming back to this first point, he said, I never bought anything on credit. Second point, I never sold anything on credit. Third point, Allahu Akbar, what does he say? مَا رَدَدْتُ رِبْحًا قَطُّ. مَا رَدَدْتُ رِبْحًا قَطُّ. He said, whatever I had, if anybody made me an offer, if I was making a profit, even if it is 1 rand in our terms, I didn't hold it back in the anticipation of more profit. I would sell it immediately, even if the profit was less. Ali radiallahu anhu in Kufa would take a whip and walk in the bazaar of Kufa. And he would say, La taruddu qaleer al-ribh, fatuhramu kathirahu. He would say to the businessmen of Kufa, don't turn down a small profit and hoard your goods in the anticipation of more profit. If you're getting a profit, sell. Allah will give you more barakat. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, this was the third principle. مَا رَدَدْتُ رِبْحًا قَطُّ. I never held anything back or hoarded. What happens when we expect a commodity to become scarce, we put it in the warehouse. Why? The price will go up. I'll make more profit. This is not the usul of Islam. This is not the mizaj of a Muslim businessman. A Muslim businessman, halal earning, halal profit, sell. Allah will give you even more. There will be barakah. There will be blessings in it. The fourth principle, Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the source of that barakah and blessing, one was the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other hand, what does he say? Allahu Akbar. He said, I never concealed the defect of any item. I never concealed the defect of any item. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself would patrol the marketplace of Medina, ghaliban after Zuhr Salah. Once there was rain, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the afternoon is walking in the marketplace, he sees someone selling grain. The grain is dry. In other words, superior quality, it's not wet. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seeing this, it was raining just now, how is this thing dry? Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam puts his hand inside and he feels the wet inferior grain in the bottom. Ya sahibata ma hadha? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately addresses that person. What is this? What have you done? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I put the dry one on top and the wet one in the bottom. I attempted to deceive the customer about the value of the goods. Allahu Akbar, kaan khol kar sun lena. Listen with the ears of Iman, Uswatun Hasana, Uswatun Hasana, Uswatun Hasana. What did my Nabi say? We won't find this in hadith that if you never made your salah, you are not of my ummah. If you never fasted, you are not of my ummah. If you never read Quran, you are not of my ummah. You won't find this in hadith, but this you will find. Man ghashana falaysa minna. He said, the one who will deceive in the marketplace, he is not from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Man ghashana falaysa minna. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, once he is walking in the marketplace, he sees one person selling milk. The milk has been mixed up with water so that it looks extra. Allahu Akbar, Abu Huraira, Sahibur Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, close companion of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he addresses that businessman and he says to him, Kayfa bika, idha qila laka yawm al qiyama. Kayfa bika. Kayfa bika. Idha qila laka yawm. He says to that businessman, what is going to happen to you? What is going to happen to you on the day of judgment? When Allah is going to command you, خَلِّصِ الْمَاءَ مِنَ اللَّبَنِ. Separate this water from the milk now. Separate this water from the milk. In the dunya you can get away. In the dunya you can pull the wool over somebody's eyes. Mu'amalat, financial interaction. This is not something to be taken lightly. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is patrolling the streets of Medina late at night. Conversation is taking place between daughter and mother. Mother is saying to the daughter, Umzujil labana bil ma, add water to the milk. The daughter in the dead of night, they don't know that Umar can hear. Their houses were not big, big mansions like ours. The voice carries. What does the daughter say to the mother? Amirul Mu'mineen Umar has prohibited this practice. Amirul Mu'mineen Umar has prohibited this practice. What does the mother say? Umar is not here. Umar is not here. You are worried about what Umar says. Allahu Akbar. What does this young child say to her mother? In kana Umaru la yarana. In kana Umaru la yarana. Umar can't see us. Fa inna Allah yarana. What about Allah? What about Allah? مَا يَكُونُ مِن نَجْوَى ثَلَاثَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ وَلَا خَمْسَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ سَادِسُهُمْ وَلَا أَدْنَى مِن ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْثَرَ إِلَّا هُوَ مَعَهُمْ أَيْنَمَا كَانُوا. Allah says, two people whispering in one corner, Allah is the third. Three whispering in one corner, Allah is the fourth. Not less, not more. But Allah is with you wherever you are. ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. A day is coming. A day is coming. A day of justice. يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرَ. A day when the secrets will be revealed. A day when the parda will be removed. A day when the deception will be established. Deception will be put to an end. The day of justice. ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah says every one of those actions will be shown to you on that day. مَنْ بَعَيْبًا مَنْ بَعَيْبًا لَمْ يُبَيِّنْهُ لَمْ يَزَلْ فِي مَقَتِ اللَّهِ وَلَمْ تَزَلِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ تَلْعَنُهُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that person who sold defective goods, he knew it was defective. He knew it was defective. But he was treacherous, he was deceitful. He sold defective goods and he didn't reveal the defect. لَمْ يَزَلْ فِي مَقَتِ اللَّهِ He will perpetually be in the anger of Allah. وَلَمْ تَزَلِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ تَلْعَنُهُ And the angels of Allah will continue cursing him. How does he expect barakat in his house? Barakat in his children. He wants to know why they are on drugs, why this is happening, why that is happening. Ask ourselves, my respected brothers, it is our earnings. It is our earnings. It is this blind greed for dunya. It is this ummah today becoming the living embodiment of the warning of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, "Yati ala nasi zamanun la yubali al-maru ma akhadha amin al-halal am min al-haram." He said, "A time will come upon my ummah; they won't care. They won't care where the wealth is coming from, whether it is halal or haram. They will not worry about as long as the coffers are being filled. Understand, risk is written. You are not going to get more. You are not going to get more. Allah's qasam, you are not going to get more. But you can earn jannat." Not just Jannat Firdaus, you can earn the highest Jannat. You can earn Allah's Maghfirat, you can earn Allah's forgiveness, you can become Allah's Wali if your earning is halal. If your earning and your livelihood is according to Sunnah, if it is according to the practices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, little bit sabr. Allah will test you, no doubt that is Allah's Sunnah, little bit sabr. And then see how Allah will open the door. Stay on halal, stay away from unnecessary debt. Stay away from treachery, stay away from lies, stay away from deception, stay away from riba, stay away from putting wool over the eyes of others. Allahu Akbar. 3,102,000,000 dinar. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. And what does he say? I never bought on credit, I never sold on credit. I never held goods back in anticipation of increased profit. And I never concealed the defect of that which I sold. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhirna alhamdulillah.